Wow. Hear that noise? Hear that noise? Something's going on. This is the end of the first act of the Ultimate Christmas Show at Bridge has just been interrupted by an alarm. So we are all, no fooling, being kicked out of the auditorium. And we've stopped the show. Here come the fire engines.
It wasn't me. Austin, I promise it wasn't me.
Rigby, what did you do?
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever it is, wherever you are. Thanks for subscribing, streaming, or downloading and listening to us on your computer or MP3 player. I'm Austin Titchener, one third of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, and you're listening to this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast number 267, Mix Alarming Premieres. If you follow us on Twitter or like us on Facebook, you know that last December, on the third to last night of our run of the Ultimate Christmas Show Abridged at the Merrimack Repertory Theater in Lowell, Massachusetts, a fire alarm went off just as we were nearing the end of the first act. As it happens, this event coincided with Mick Orff's first performance in the Christmas show. That is, his first performance when Reed Martin wasn't in the audience taking notes. His first performance flying solo, as it were. And as regular listeners to the podcast know, there is never a dull moment surrounding Mick Orff's first performance in any of our shows. Mick Orff, every time you join a production of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, there are stories to tell.
There's always a nice... A lot of action when Kid Orff comes on the boards.
We've discussed this in the podcast before. Your first production with us was All the Great Books Abridged, which was a lengthy, regular rehearsal schedule, but your first performance was in front of a Dutch audience.
Correct.
Yeah.
Far from home in a foreign country, yeah. And on no sleep and all the rest. We were still jet lagged and all that.
Right. Second production with us was Hollywood.
Second show was America.
Right.
With the quick fill in. You've all heard that story before.
Right. Where you learned the script in 2 days and flew to New Jersey on your own power, using your own arms.
That's right. And then
I used the script as wings, like Icarus.
Yes.
And flew
and
across.
You were held aloft by the power. By the power of our words.
That's right.
And the dearth of our jokes. Then was Hollywood, you know.
And Hollywood was another traveling debacle.
Yes.
in which we were stuck in the airport all night and then put in a hotel for a couple hours, and we flew to a different place, and the luggage got lost and all that other stuff.
You can hear these stories just by searching Mick Orff our website for the podcast. But now this fall of 2011, you did your first performance of the sports show.
Which had another nice story attached to it. None of these are really good stories. They're all like disasters.
They are disasters, but a triumph over disaster,
would you have to say?
Well put, yes.
We
overcome diversity.
Yes.
We'll talk about the fire alarm crisis of your and the student matinee issues of your first performance at Christmas. But let's talk about sports.
Okay.
You had learned it over a period of months, coming to see us in different places, coming out to Sonoma to learn it,
yes.
To take over for Reed Martin. But then you get down to the South, Georgia, and Michael Faulkner is stepping in to do his first performance in my role. And what happened down there?
Yes, I don't mean to correct you. It was Michael's second. He had done it once up in Northern California, I believe.
That's right.
But it was my first show,
yeah.
Michael's second show, and Rippy's millionth show.
Right, right, right.
So here we are in Gainesville, Florida.
Okay.
And we are normally, especially when it's your first time, but really any on a one-nighter, we get there, you know, in the afternoon, you do a sort of tech run-through with lights and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
When it's someone's first show, we give them, you know, costumes, and they do a real run through.
Right.
You don't maybe go 110%, but you do a good.
They get the whole thing.
Yes, you really feel what it's like to do the show.
Yes.
And in this case, we were planning that for Gainesville, and Michael and Matt and I get in the rent-a car to drive to the theater, and Michael is like, "I am. There's something wrong with me. I am in death pain."
Oh my God.
And we were like, okay, well, how about a couple aspirin and let's get on with it?
Yeah, yeah. Right.
But
suck it up, man up. We got a show to do.
Yeah, but this was no matter of he had a sore ankle or a tired voice. He had kidney stones.
Oh.
And I've never had them before, knock on wood, but I hear that it's worse than childbirth.
They are no fun. And my wife has had them and has had them and childbirth, and their kidney stones are worse.
They win. They beat childbirth in the pain department.
Yeah.
Well, so Michael, anyway, we did not do a tech through. We didn't do a rehearsal. We didn't even do a line through.
What'd you do?
We waited at the emergency. We took Michael to the emergency room, and then Rippy and I sat out in the lobby of the hospital in the emergency room, planning a two-man version of this show that I had never done before.
Right. And you called us.
We called you guys. You and Reed were offering us suggestions.
We were rehearsing the Christmas show. That's why we were in California while you were in Florida.
Right. That's why you guys weren't doing the show yourselves, because you were rehearsing the Christmas show with the Sonoma cast.
Yeah.
And so you're saying, well, you could do the scene with the coach. He could have a clipboard, and you put the script on that. You know, because that's a part that Michael would have done.
Right.
And we're divvying up lines, and we really were just trying to figure that out. Yeah. How are we going to get through this show with two people?
Yeah.
And we were ready to do it.
Yeah.
We were mentally prepared, and we figured we had nothing to lose.
Absolutely. This is the thing.
You can't fail.
Yeah, no. We'll get back to nothing to lose. Go
okay.
on, keep going.
Okay. So and then Michael was there. I mean, he was there, you know, not until literally showtime, but right before.
Right.
And I guess they gave him some drugs that he was in enough. He was out of enough pain that he was able to do the show.
Yeah.
He more than got through it. He did a very good job.
Well, all things considered, with everything. Well, and you did a very good job. You know, you didn't get your tech through. You didn't get your line through. But you know, I talked to Matt Rippey. I talked to you and Matt Rippey that night, and you were saying, you know, you were given everything that happened. It was great, and I know that the presenter was very happy down there in Florida. You guys got to go to a football game the next day with because they brought you in.
That was the best thing of all. The next day, Michael and Elizabeth from the theater got us tickets to the opening day of Florida Gators game.
Right. Well, and Michael, of course, in the sports show playing my role, starts to when he hears the word baseball, he collapses on stage.
I forgot all about this. This is great.
And Elaine had told a lot of the crew. Well, I guess that Michael had been sick, but she had neglected to tell people that. Oh, and by the way, he falls down.
There's a bit in the show where he falls down.
Yeah.
So
we play it like it's really happening.
Oh,
so that's why Elaine is usually very good about warning the crew that this is just part of the show. Don't worry about it.
And I think actually the most of the backstage people knew, or they were at least on headset.
Right.
Elaine told them. But and Michael was okay, but it was Elizabeth who literally stood up.
The front of house person, the booker.
She and Michael are the two people there at the theater. I don't know what her exact title is, but stood bolt upright in the second row of the thing in a house full of people and went tearing backstage like around the front of the side of the house.
That had to have helped sell the bit.
Absolutely, right? Absolutely. What's so funny is if it's played very real, as you just said, so we're out there, we're whispering, you know, what is he going to be? Okay? Oh my gosh, what are we going to do? At that volume with the whole audience, so it's just quiet and there's this man laying on stage who has been in the hospital all day and on drugs and kidney stones and everything else.
Well, how did you feel? I mean, in a certain sense, is that great for you? Because you didn't have to spend the day worrying about it, thinking about it, going, oh my God, I hope I get it right, I hope I get this right, I've got to focus on my lines, blah, blah, blah. You couldn't think of any of that.
There was absolutely no pressure. It was definitely the most pressure-free first performance I've ever had, because there was no way.
Right.
I mean, unless I just started weeping on stage in the middle of the performance or something, there was really no way to fail.
Good day. This is Lauren Laverne from the telly and the radio and stuff, and you are listening to the Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast. Enjoy that podcasting, you crazy podcast people.
Where can you RSC the RSC? This winter, spring, and summer of 2012, you'll be able to RSC us in 34 cities in the U.S. and the U.K. Cities like Midland, Michigan, Fairfield, Connecticut, Stowe, Vermont, Reston, Virginia, New Bremen, and New Philadelphia, Ohio, Eau Claire, Wisconsin, Waverly, Iowa, Tacoma and Edmonds, Washington, Sonoma and Santa Rosa, California, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma in May, And then we head over to the UK, to York, Buxton, Exeter, Newbury, Nottingham, Truro, Poole, Tunbridge Wells, Canterbury, Leamington Spa, Derby, Hereford, Rhyl, Barnsley, Salford, Lichfield, Basingstoke, Crawley, Bedford, Tewkesbury, and London. As always, the very best way to stay up to date about all of our worldwide performance dates is to sign up for the Reduced Reader, our email newsletter. Go to ReducedShakespeare.com and click on the link to subscribe and check out our touring page for specific box office venue and ticket information. And now back to my conversation with Mick Orff as we raced to conclude before our places call prior to our Saturday night performance. And again, we talk about this all the time. Well, and coming up to now to your first performance of Christmas, you do have to get your first performance over with.
Yeah.
Not just with the Reduced Shakespeare Company, but with every time you perform, you have to get that first performance in front of an audience over with. And that brings us to your first performance, The Ultimate Christmas Show.
The only thing that would make this story better is if the fire alarm thing was actually very first night.
Instead of your third night.
Performance, still, second night.
Yeah, second night. It's still a good story. You came up and you were supposed to go on for your first performance Thursday night, and you thought, I think, in your head, I'll get up there. I got Monday night, I got all day Tuesday, all day Wednesday, all day Thursday before Thursday night's performance. But we also had a 10:30 student matinee.
On Wednesday
morning. And we just thought, oh, well, that's going to be half full and with 7th and 8th graders. And Reed will be here, and he'll be able to watch you. So we went, oh, well, Mick, you're going on.
Well, let's have Mick do that. Yeah.
Yeah, and that was great. And that made it certainly made it more fun for Rippy and I, you know, having to get up early and doing a 10:30 show. So we're going, oh, here we go. Mm-hmm. But with you in it, that raised the level of interest for Rippy and I.
You guys had to get your spidey senses going a little bit better for that
yes,
one.
Yes, we were tingling. Yeah. You make us tingle every time you perform with
us. Thank you very much.
But
back at you.
Thank you, fella. But that was... You were nervous about it the week ahead of time, but when you came back up, I don't think you were nervous about that overmuch.
I wasn't. I had spent some time with the script and with the all of that, so I knew it. You know, there's always that when you first get at it. Yeah. So when I came up and watched it a few times that week and went through the blocking and stuff with Reed, and then it's kind of like,
cool. Thank you, Steve.
Okay, it's up to you now, kid.
Yeah, right.
So when you first have to swallow that, it's like a big giant. You know, ball of peanut butter. They go, how am I going to get this down? How am I going to do this?
right.
But then you just start, you know.
Get up there and you do it.
Yeah,
you just
learn
you do it.
It.
And you learn it. And the kids gave you a response, but it wasn't the response that you get from the adult audience.
Oh, no. In fact, like, I was pleasantly surprised. The kids were a pretty good audience.
Yeah, they were, nothing wrong with them.
They laughed in the right spots, maybe not as loud as a full house of 300 drunk grown-ups, but, you know, loud enough. They were good.
And then you had your second show with a grown-up audience, with a tough grown-up audience.
Yeah, Thursday night was a weird house.
Thursday night was a
weird
tough
house.
Crowd. But then Friday night, we had a great audience. They were already going great.
Friday night, first act, right out of the gate, they're laughing, they're making good noise, they're a great audience, and we're all, you get that little, you kind of look at each other without saying it, but you're like, oh, this could be a good one.
I know.
And it starts to feel great, and they're laughing, and it's going great, and then?
And we just get to the end, we're literally two minutes away from the end of the first act. We're playing Jingle Bells on these, quote unquote.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're at 5 minutes, please.
Oh, crap. On these found objects that Rippy found by the back door.
A box full of crap for the rummage sale.
Yeah, and just as I hit the pan with the stick to check. Ooh, what sound does this make?
Bing.
A fire alarm.
And boy, that was. We looked around. We all kind of looked around. I thought I had a very nice ad lib. If you don't mind me tooting my own horn.
Please.
So I go bing 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 bing, and I say to Rippy, name that tune, and he says Inagata Davida, and I say listen again, and I go bing 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 bing, and then Austin hits the thing, and the alarm starts going off, and I said, now that sounds like Inagata Davida, and then you look up at the booth, and you go, seriously,
we got to get out of here.
Is this happening right now?
And then as we were leaving the stage, I leaned over to you and said, it's always you. It's always a story with you.
Thank you. Yes.
Right.
Well, and it is. But now we got that out of the way.
Now we got that out of the way. Welcome back to the RSC, Mick Orff.
Great to be here jinxing another performance.
Hey, Mick Orff.
But what happened out in the parking lot during the fire alarm while we were waiting for the all clear? Not much. The show was going so well, and you pull the fire alarm.
It wasn't me.
Why did you do that?
I thought it was the exit for the back door.
Did we lose Orf? Oh, well. Oh, we've lost Mick Orf. Oh, no, there he is. I was wondering who you were. That's so funny. It's so funny. I thought you were just... Well, all
right. So I guess it's not all... Well, this is very exciting to see that the response time is pretty good.
Let's start thinking of funny things to say when we get back. You mean plan our ad-libs?
We'd never do that.
Why, I got an idea. Why don't we wait and see if there are any fatalities first, and then we'll start making jokes.
Exactly.
Oh.
Maybe somebody really didn't care for the show. That old lady in the first...
You guys saw the whole house was hazy, right?
Well, first off...
Yay! Steve got out!
Are you serious?
The concert last
first off, the balcony did manage to get out, so your fire trap joke at the beginning of the show was not applicable.
All wrong.
So I guess it's not a fire trap.
Well, you know, yes, that's true. At the beginning of the show, I do say, ladies and gentlemen, in the event of a fire, please exit the building before tweeting about it. Let's see who's tweeting.
Which Austin did not do.
I didn't tweet. I was going to tweet, but then I decided, no, you know what? I'm going to pull out the microphone, too.
So let's see. Emily says, ladies and gentlemen, please exit the building immediately, and Austin runs straight to the dressing room to get his iPod with microphone.
God, I wanted to get my coat. It's freezing out here.
First he said, seriously?
Seriously.
Several times when the alarm's going off.
Yeah.
Does that mean we need to leave, too?
Why do we need to leave? We're the actors. Nothing can happen to us.
We're absolutely...
Emily, what did you do? It was going so well. This is a good audience.
It was such a good audience.
Yeah.
They'll be good when we get back. I've got a serious question.
Yeah?
Okay. Well, they're coming. This is a good sign that Lowell has a very rapid response.
And that our new fire system is effective.
Yeah. This is a new fire system?
This is what they've been installing.
The one they've been installing. Oh, yes.
They have a temporary one, so I don't know if this is a temporary one that's not set off or the...
The old one or the new
one?
We couldn't have wheeled out the props and finished the first act of the parking lot? And we were so close.
Here in 15
minutes. Yeah. I know.
Okay, there's nothing happening next door, right?
No.
There's nothing happening tonight. There's nothing happening next door. Last week we had Lita Ford on the stage next door, and there was so much of that rock and roll smoke on their stage that it spilled into our auditorium, and you know we had to swim through Dickensian fog. No alarms went off then.
The weirdest part, it was the first act, and I was just about to bang the pot lid, and I went, and it went clunk, and I went, wow, that made a great noise tonight. Oh my God!
How do I turn it off?
But I can't turn it off.
That's it for this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast. Send us your debut performances via email to feedback@reducedshakespeare.com. You can also post comments on our website podcast page, and you can post reviews on iTunes. You can interact with other fans at our website and our Reduced Shakespeare Company Facebook fan page. You can also become a subscriber to our YouTube channel or become a twit. Follow us on Twitter @Reduced. You can find easy links to all these social networks at our website, reducedshakespeare.com. Thanks, as always, to Webmaster Matt Rippey, Fire Captain Matthew Croak, music by John Weber and Garage Band. Our random fan shout-out this week goes to Julie Gilbert. No reason, it's just random. Special thanks to UK media superstar Lauren Laverne, and thanks very much to you for listening. I'm Austin Titchener, 267 801sts of the Reduced Shakespeare Company.
This is another part of your podcast of your first performances.
What
is up with you and your first performances?
I always bring the weird
This podcast is a production of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, reducing expectations since 1981. Go to reducedshakespeare.com for performance dates, actor bios, email newsletters, and so much less.
So much less.